Okay, once again, November 2nd, 2017. It is the 13th of Mar Cheshvan Tavshin Ayin Ches. We are up to the last day of our learning of the second parak of Parshas Vayikra. So there's really two things that kind of jumped out at me to discuss from the second parak. So number one is the very first Rashi that appears on the parak. So what did he say there? So the pasuk begins with the parak begins with v'nefesh ki tekriv korban michal Hashem soul siya korban. No, that a nefesh, a soul that brings a korban michal Hashem, and they bring the shemen and they put the lavona on it, etc. So Rashi comments on that. Why does it say nefesh? That's an odd thing. It says kisakriv. Who midivrei gemara b'menachos lo nemar nefesh b'chol karbanos nedava ella b'mincha. That the term nefesh is not used by any of their karbanos except for mincha. Why? Midarkel hisnadev mincha ani. Who is the one who normally gives a mincha? An ani. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu malani alav ki ilu hikriv nafsho. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll look at it as if he was makriv his nefesh, as if he brought his entire soul. Which tells us that the main idea of what serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not necessarily what you do, but rather how much one gives, that is, or how much one actually gives of themselves, how much effort one puts in. So there is an interesting question that I saw here, Rabbi Simon Sefer, and that is from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, how expensive was the Korban Mincha? So it was a significant amount of flour. It was a bowl of flour. So bowls of flour go for how much in the supermarket? Who knows? I don't know. I was in the supermarket yesterday, but I got my flu shot at Giant. That was my only stop. I didn't get to check what the... I actually went to the pharmacy at Giant and said, I've never been here before. I said, hundreds of times, but I've never stood in this spot. And I got my flu shot, and we're good to go, but that explains why I have a cold today, as Bruce pointed out. So, says the Chassam Sofer, the Korban Mincha in terms of the flour and then as well as the Lavona, so how much did that cost? Probably cost $5-6 in the currency that would exist in 200 years later, not in Hungary, but in America. Right? He says, however, there are korbanos that are even less than that, and that is the cost of a bird offering, an olas ha'of, the offering of a bird. A bird, apparently, he claims, was even less expensive than the Korban Mincha. Right, it was even less than that. So why is it that the poor person's offering is known as the mincha, when monetarily speaking, a bird offering was actually less expensive than a flower offering? Is that true? I don't know. I haven't seen. How much does a little bird cost at Petco? Anyone know?
I think it's $20.
$20! So it wouldn't make sense today. But apparently in Petco in Pressburg in the 1800s, birds were less expensive, or at least the Chassam Sofer assumed that birds in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh, birds were less expensive than the flour. So why is it that flour is considered poor man's if birds are less expensive? So says the Chassam Sofer. He says, yes, it's true. Shem mincha biyoker yosem yaprede. Yes, it's true that the mincha was cost more than one bird shel oaf. Vegamin in nefesh, and it's also a little lesser because it's not a nefesh; it's not living. Ach malo lasos ve'ein lo pruta liknos preda achas. But he didn't have the money to buy a bird. Right? He couldn't afford a bird. Right? So, yes, it's true. Maybe monetarily wise would be a wiser investment to pay for the bird than would to pay for the flower, but he couldn't afford a bird. It's like people would say in Yerushalayim after the 67 war, see, how much could an apartment in the old city go for? You could buy one of those apartments that now sell for millions of dollars, they're going for $10,000. So a person would say to me, yeah, if I had $10,000, I would have bought one, but who had $10,000 to spend on apartments back then? So comes the Chassam Sofer and says, they didn't have the money to pay for the bird. So where did they get the money for the flour? Food stamps. Well, sort of. He says, "Ach kemach solas v'shemen yeshlo milakid shichacha upeya shalo." If he was poor, he got to go to the fields and would collect leket and shichacha. Right? That's what he was able to collect from the fields. He wasn't able to collect birds. He only collected the flour. So that's what he had. That's what he had. He took. So he took from his food and he actually brought it. So remakriv nafsho be'embes. That was truly giving of himself. Shemisane umemayit chelvo v'damu yomecha. They actually fasted and he actually actually limited the amount of stuff that he would eat over the course of one day in order to bring this. Similarly with the Lavona, so it was something that was grown in Eretz Yisrael, and the goats would eat from it. The frankincense, which you're not, don't ask me more than that, but that's the way it's translated. And he'd be able to collect that mina hefker, that he was able to get for free. So yes, it's true, the mincha offering might have been worth more than a bird offering, but the flower offering was more accessible to him because of the gifts of the peah and the shichacha, and I assume the leket as well, and the free and the ability to be able to get Lavona for it. So what do we see from this idea from the Masam Sofer, other than it's just an interesting note, that is that you can that giving up of a person, that giving up what a person actually has, what a person is actually going to use for their food, so that's considered the greater value. There is such an idea on fast days that one should give the tzedakah. One should give tzedakah that day of the amount of money that they would have given on the food. Right? That to put the two of them together in order to give extra tzedakah from that day. So, so he Rabbi Simon went on here and then quoted from the Sefer Noam Elimelech. I think we've quoted from the Noam Elimelech before. Anybody remember a quote from the Noam Elimelech? Elimelech Milizhensk?
Yeah.
You can go today to the Kever. You could go to Lizhensk today. Yeah. Go to the Kever of the Noam Elimelech. If you know the Avram Fried song, Adir Rabbe Tein Bili Beinu. Old school Avram Fried. So that was composed, not the song wasn't composed, but it was written. It was a tefillah that was offered from Melech Milizhensk. I was there a couple years ago. It's in Poland, on my Poland trip when I was about 17 or 18, a few years ago. And you can go and visit. And we were told at the time that they were building a hotel with a mikveh. It didn't exist at the time when we were there.
What year was this? Can you tell me? After Russians left?
That was 1998.
Ah, wow.
99. Spring of 1999 that we were in Poland. So anyways, there is a simon, by the way, to having Noam Elimelech in your... I think I mentioned this before. To have Noam Elimelech in a room when a woman gives birth. That's considered a simon bracha that's going to somehow help. And I've been told that first edition Noam Elimelech, even a page of the first edition Noam Elimelech, could fetch a lot of money because everybody's after them in order to have in their room when their wives, daughters, granddaughters give birth. Okay, so anyway, so there he quotes from the Gemara Maseches Chulim. Dam nik. Well, actually, it goes in a different order. Amar Rav Chanina, ein adam nokif etzbo milmata, ela imke machrizen olav milmal. The person doesn't stub his finger below or his toe below, ela imke, unless it was announced from above. I mean, it sounds like what that means is Hashem is in control down here, so things don't happen to you unless it comes from above. And the Gemara also comments dam nikuf meratz. Kedam Ola. And then the Gemara also comments that the Dam Nikuf, that the blood of the stubbing, Meratze, can actually cause a cleaning, can cause a healing, Kedam Ola, like the Dam of the like the dam of an offering. So what is the simple explanation of that? Simple explanation is that a person stubs his toe, so it's a simon from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Hashem said that you were going to stub your toe for whatever avera that you did, and therefore the dam that comes out is like the Dam Ola. However, the Noam Elimelech gives a deeper explanation. He says, the Gemara says, Dam Nikuf Maratzik Dam Ola, that Dam Nikuf is considered like the Dam of an olive. And nearly, the Nekesha Adam Moser Nafshu LaHashem Yisferach B'Shlemus, V'Gomer B'Daito Ki'ilu Hu Nisraf. Then a person gives himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they establish in themselves as if they themselves have been Nisraf. That's what it calls nikuf. That's what it calls stub. That's what it is called. That a person stubs. The haynu lashon hakafa davar she'inu hamizuman v'zehu dam nikuf. That's what it means. Hayin mesiras nefesh, giving a person over. Maratzik adam ola. It will be accepted like adam ola v'zehu v'lachum min adam dain mesiras nefesh. That's when he takes from the blood, which means that he has been moser nefesh. So the Noam Elimelech is a little bit of a switch. It's not just the punishment that is coming to me. That's what is considered like the ola. That's what's considered like the kapara, the healing willing, that's going to take place. But beyond that, says no melech melech. No, the very act that you're giving something up of yourself, that's what's considered the korban. Not just that you're being afflicted, but that you're giving something up. And the dam that flows, the blood that flows, should be recognized if it's something that you're giving up. Moser nefesh, so to speak. And that's considered the equivalent of bringing a korban. So that's the first idea that he wanted to share. Questions, comments, observations, you're good?
We don't normally consider blood. We don't give our own blood.
No. So I think what he is saying is that once it has happened already, and truth is, this is really just an extent, it's just a deeper understanding of the first idea, but it's recognizing something as coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right. Now, as we've spoken before, it's not necessarily that you have to be right about it. This, I stubbed my toe because I ran after the ice cream truck. I don't know. I did something with my toe that I wasn't supposed to do. So that is one thing. But really, the reason I stubbed my toe is because it was what did Hashem have in mind by causing me to stub my toe? That He wanted me to realize that I should make sure to get to shul on time. That was really His thinking. But instead, what did I use it for? I used it to said, oh, that's to punish me for walking outside of the Eruv on Shabbos, carrying something. I made up some other thing that I did wrong. So did I get it wrong? So I don't think you got it wrong, right? The idea is to focus and try to improve. So if I take this idea and I use it to focus and improve myself, so then you are in fulfillment of that idea. Okay? So now as we move along in the parak, the other main topic that is discussed with regards to the Korban Mincha is this prohibition of using leaven and the prohibition of using honey. So there is a very interesting Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch comments. Sefer Achinuch, who wrote the Sefer Achinuch? Was?
We're learning now with Rabbi Zephron.
With Rabbi Zephron?
Yeah.
So did you ask him who wrote it?
They don't know who wrote it.
They don't know who wrote it, correct.
You wrote it for a son. Is
right. The Masorah is that it was written by somebody for his children, for him to learn, you know, in the days leading up to his bar mitzvah. So, but it is known that it's from a Rishon. I think there is a suggestion, although I think it's been disproven, that it was from the Ra'ah. It was one of the Rishonim who was constant in fighting with the Rashba, but I think that's assumed to be incorrect. But either way, what is the Sefer Achinuch doing? So he quotes the mitzvah. He says simply what the mitzvah is. He tells you what he thinks is the shoresh, the source, the tam of the mitzvah. Yeah. Then he goes on and gives you perhaps a few more detailed halachos, what the punishment is if you don't do it, or what the reward is if you do it. And then he moves on to the next mitzvah. Right? That's Sefer Achinuch. So there is one spot. I believe it is in the mitzvah of not breaking bones of the Korban Pesach. It was not permitted to break the bones of the Korban Pesach. So there he goes into a little bit of a dissertation as to what the point is of giving over the reason for the mitzvahs, that the purpose of knowing what the reasons are for the mitzvahs is because Hashem wants to have a shpa on us, and they're supposed to have meaning to us, and we're supposed to grow from them, so therefore it's good to at least have a hypothesis as to what the reason is for the mitzvahs, so that we know what to grow from. This is different than what we call Darshin and Taima Lakra. The Gemara talks about darshaning the reasons of mitzvahs in order to figure out what the reason is in order to then decipher halachos from it. The reason is for this, and therefore it's going to have this impact on the halacha. So that we don't do. That's the opinion of one of the Tanaim. When I was in Rav Shechter's shir one time, he quoted that opinion of Rav Shimon, and he said if Rav Shimon was alive today, he'd be a reform rabbi. Which was a little shocking to hear, right? But that's what's going on in other movements. They say, oh, well, this is the reason, and we don't need that anymore. The reason for kashrus is to promote cleanliness. We're now clean, and therefore we don't have to worry about it anymore. The reason for Shabbos is whatever. We don't need it anymore. Okay, so Sefer Achinuch is not going there. He's just perhaps giving you a philosophy for the mitzvah. So there is a mitzvah of the mitzvos in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. So there's the mitzvah of bringing the Ola. That was in Perek Aleph. Then there's the mitzvah of bringing mincha, that's Perek Beis. And then the third mitzvah that's mentioned and Sefer Achinuch is Shalo Lahakriv Sor Udvash. It is not permitted to bring Sor or Dvash along with your Korban Mincha. That gets its own mitzvah lo saseh. So what is the reason for that? So Sharshe Mitzvah Zu Ne'elam Ma'od Mitzvah Afilu Remez Katan Mehem. It's very hard to find even a small hint as to what the reason is behind this. Ve'ulam Yifnei Shekvar Hudati Pesach Divrei Shekavansi Be'ila Atamim Shani Kosi B'Hargla Na'arim La'atim Lahem B'tchilas Bo'am Lishma Divrei HaSefer. He says, but what can I do? That was what I advertised. I advertised when I beginning writing the Sefer that I was going to give you a reason for all the mitzvahs. So Ki'yesh L'Divrei HaTorah Tam V'Tovelas, right? That's what I'm trying to explain, that the whole Torah has reasons and purpose. And we accept them according to whatever weakness of knowledge we have. We should do the best we can. And the mitzvah shouldn't be like a sealed book. That it's just going to go ahead and do it for you. Therefore, I'm going to give you a reason, at least the beginning of what my thoughts are on this. Fine. So the Omer, so Kinyani HaKorban Kulam La'or Machshava Samakriv. So he says, this is my the beginning of my suggestion. That the whole, he said, by the way, here in the Sifsei Chaim, he goes through the Sefer Achinuch like phrase by phrase. And he actually points out a very interesting thing from Rav Dessler. I don't know if it's inside, but Rav Dessler, of course, the author of the Michtav Meliyahu, right? Rav Eliyahu Dessler. So he says, you know, what it was, he quotes from Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rav Yerucham, who was the Mashkiach of the yeshiva in Mir. So he says, you know, when we say tam hamitzvah, tam can mean two things. So what does tam hamitzvah mean? What is the
reason
for the mitzvah? That's the most obvious thing. The reason why Hashem commanded the mitzvah was X. There's another reason.
Well, that, tam means taste,
flavor. Flavor, very good. What? So tam could be the reason. Tam could also be the flavor. Yes. So what's the difference between reason and flavor? Reason is the reason why to do it. Tam is what you're supposed to get out of it. You like that. So the same thing here. So what's going to be, what are we going to do over here? So he says, the reason that we, what we learn out from the chometz, from the keeping away chometz, Shunasa Bishia Gidola Mikarbanu Yikach Dimyun Liktos Midas Hazurizos Vakalos Vamihiris Vamasi Hashem Baruch Hu. The idea is to acquire the Midah of Zrizos, acquire the Midah of doing things as fast as we can. The Chamo Shamru, as we learn in Pirkei Avos, Havi Kal Kaneshev Ratz Katzvi, be light as an eagle and run like a deer. Lasos Ritzon Hashem, Benishai Vainya Bimincha Hayachidim Yosir Bimincha Tzibur. And then he adds in, and this obligation of this is more by a Yachid than it is by a tzibur. Why? What does he mean by that? That the obligation is on a private mincha. There is a korban tzibur, a mincha satzibur, where we do allow chametz. What is that? No. That's the question. The korban tozda is a personal offering, right? But the thing that we've learned about already so far is the korban of the shtei halachim. So the shtei halachim that is brought on Shavuot. So that's the exception to the rule. But he says that we're more makbid on this by a yachid than by a tzibur, than by in the congregation, because the congregation people will be encouraging of one another. When you have a yachid, so then you need the constant motivation, the constant personal pushing in order that you don't stop and we don't become lazy. When it comes to tzibur, we don't necessarily need that constant remembrance, so therefore we'll add in a little bit of chametz perhaps to the korban tzibur, to the public offering, but not to the private offering. But again, only that is only once a year. So why is it only once a year? So in the Sifsei Chaim, this is in Midos HaVodas Hashem, Chelek Beis, page Tuf Beis, he goes from the Maharal. Why do we bring the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos? So the most common reason as to why we bring a Shtei Alechem on Shavuos is that it is the upgrade from the Korban HaOmer that was brought on Pesach. Korban HaOmer is just barley, and it's not allowed to be chametz, and you work your way up to bread. Right, which we leave Mitzrayim and come to Har Sinai. That's the most common reason and things that come out of that. But says the Maharal, on Shavuos we have the Shtei Alechem Yivnei Shachamitz Misamel Asei Tzahara. Lachin Bayom Shabo Nisna Torah Shia Tavlin Leitzer, because Chametz is what brings about or arouses the Yitzhahara. So on the day that the Torah was given, which is the Tavlin of the Yitzhahara, what does it mean, the Tavlin of the Yitzhahara? Right, we have the Gemara that tells us, Barasi Yetzahara, Hashem says, I created the Yetzahara, Ubarasi Torah Tavlin. So how do we understand that? I created the Yetzahara, but yet I created the Torah
to be
a antidote. So that's the way it's almost always understood, right? To be an antidote. I created the Yetzahara, and I created an antidote for it. But the truth is, that's not really. What does Tavlin literally mean? Tavlin literally are spices. So I created the Yetzahara, and I created the Torah to spice it. So what does that mean? She had Tavlin Yetzahara v'al yada misgavrim alav v'zem rameis havas shtei alech min hachamitz dafka b'shas havas ha-Torah she'akocha l'matek u'latakein es hara. I created the Yetzirah and it's directed by the Torah, and this goes according within the idea of things that we've mentioned a few times already. The Yetzirah is not necessarily objectively bad. The Yetzirah represents the koach of physicality, the koach of things that we have to productively do in this world. So the idea of building houses, the idea of having children, the idea of building a family, the idea of conquering the world, so all of that is emanating from the Yetzirah, and it is directed, it is spiced, it is defined by the Torah. So on the very day that the Torah was given, so perhaps we could have he doesn't say, I don't want to put words in the Ramchal's mouth, in the Maharal's mouth, he doesn't exactly go there, but what I would then add is that on the day that the Torah was given, so again, the greater the Yetzirah, the greater power you have. Right. So on the day the Torah was given, I'll take a greater Yetzirah because I have greater power than to direct it. Perhaps that's the idea of the Shtei Halachim being offered.
That's awesome.
On Shavuos.
That's the big thing with it, the personal Babich Rebbe, the whole point is everybody is upset about the Nefesh Bahamas is the bad boy, you know, in the black. But I can tame it.
Correct.
And if you can meditate, is in his angle on it, visualize the eyes around the eyes, sees in the heart desire, you can get to go after Torah if you visualize.
Yes.
That type of thing, it can push back at anything.
Agreed. Okay, so
is that okay?
Yes, it's okay.
Make sure I'm on the topic.
It's okay. Yeah, you're within the topic.
Okay, good.
We're not crossing oceans or anything. Or
no.
Okay. So it says the uveinyan harchakas hadvash. And then what about the idea of keeping away the honey? So that is aliyaladim rachim kedei liyasram shehu siba ledimyon sheyimait aadam milirdof achar hamalchem hamatukim lecheiko. And this is just really telling people that you should avoid candy. That there are people, the lower ones, who go after all things sweet, but they should really only focus on things that help the body. You have to be careful. You have to watch your body. To be careful with all things that they eat and that they drink, that it's not just to give hana to the mouth, but you have to, and those that are wise understand this, meaning it's not just about eating sweets, it's about eating things that are going to be healthy. So this is a little bit different than what we learned when we did Rishonim Day. When we did Rishonim Day, we talked about the Ramban and the Kli Yakar, who said that no, that dvash is good for you. Dvash is what gives a person strength and what gives a person health. And we said that, and it has to be done before, it has to be done separate from the korban. But the korban, however, is going to be only spirituality, only that. So he's saying that no,
is that the korban olah?
That we're talking about the korban mincha.
Which is, we should eat some of that, or we don't?
We do, our kohanim eat some of it, but it's only bread.
Right.
It's not, well, it's only matzah, it's only non chametz bread, it's not.
Okay, I gotta get more of this.
It's not including these extra things, but the Sifti Chaim continues on and says, "Nam tzinu lamdim sheshnei atamim olim mekan echad." Now, both of these ideas—the idea of the dvash and the idea of the and the idea of the flower are both coming from the same idea. When we tart them, laharchik me'atzos. They're both, the focus on both of them is to keep one away from laziness. Ki kacha, as he writes, hini misvidi has rizos heim heim migdilei ha'atzala, that those that are careful, those that are lacking rizos, they are the ones that are lazy. Right? The greatest lazy are those that just seek rest. And they hate the work, and they love to just sit and enjoy themselves. So what is he saying? The two of these go together. That a person who is often looking for gashmius gain type of things are also the ones who are often lazy. So these two ideas then focus in on go together in order to draw a person away from those things which they are supposed to do. So So that's where he sort of ends his Sefer HaChinuch counter in Sifsei Chaim. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch itself, so Sefer HaChinuch says, Va'ot Shamati, I have another reason for the prohibitions of Sor and Vash. Why? Because the Sor raises oneself, and so too the Vash raises oneself. And therefore, that's kind of a separate, that raises the Gav Leva talks about haughtiness, etc. And then he says, and then I saw the Ramban, that the Ramban writes, similarly, that the karbanos are therefore offered to Hashem. They don't come from things which are changes the teva. That they shouldn't be from things that change the essence of an object. So you have flour, you put in some su'or, so it changes the su'or. So it should be original. The Ramban has this also, I believe, by the prohibition of shatnas. Shatnas is known as one of the big chukim in the Torah. So whenever there's a chuk of the Torah, so everybody's got to try to figure out what the reason could be. So the Ramban writes that the prohibition of shatnas, of mixing wool and linen, and the prohibition of kalayim, mixing various species together, is to avoid changes to the natural world. That's what the Ramban says. The Hashem created things in a certain way, and we shouldn't be changing it to something else. So it's a little hard to understand because we do that plenty of times. We build houses by mixing, by making cement. So is that a problem? So I don't think so. I think what the Ramban would probably tell you that there's some kind of distinction. You have to make sure that you recognize what the original materials were, and then you could go ahead and perhaps expand upon that in other ways. So that's what he says here as well when it comes to the Seor and the Dvash. That Seor should not be added in because that's going to change the nature of the flour for the Mincha. And similarly, V'chein lo yavo min hadvarim ha-metukim. They shouldn't come from things that are sweet, like honey. Rak min ha-mezugim, kasher amru zikron lebracha v'riyas olam, shi'yitif midas racham and b'midas hadin uvaro. That, as Hashem said, those things that combine it, such as, I guess he's referring to the salt, as they say in the beginning, that Kadosh Baruch Hu connected the Midas Adin when he created the world. I assume in the footnote here he's going to tell you about, he just tells you the source. But that's the idea of, right, that's the idea of the salt. The salt is a combination of things, a combination of all the essences of the world, as well as the honey, which is just something that expands upon further, and therefore it's not going to be considered part of our karbanos. All right? Okay, Ad Kan. Tomorrow we'll continue Mirsa Hashem with Perek Gimel.
Oh, wow.